You're listening to Locked On Cavaliers, your daily look at the Cleveland Cavaliers, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day. Hello and welcome to Locked On Cavaliers, your daily look at the Cleveland Cavaliers from the Locked On Podcast Network, the number one daily local sports podcast network. I'm Chris Manning, your host and the site manager at FearTheSword.com, SB Nation's Cleveland Cavaliers site. If you aren't already, you can find the podcast on Apple Podcasts, Stitcher, Megaphone, or wherever else you listen to podcasts. A five-star review is the best way to support the show. And you can find the show on Twitter and Facebook at Locked On Cavs. And if you want to find me on social media, you can do that at CWMWrights on Twitter, Facebook, or Instagram, wherever else. So on today's show, we are catching up on the Cavs' Saturday loss to the Bulls. And we're going to be going through some new segments that we're going to be running through on the show. Today's segment will be something we do every Monday. And that's going to be a check-in on Colin Sexton, the Cavs' top pick, the face of the rebuild, really, and what's going on with him at the current moment and over the last week, and what's the things you should be looking at in terms of viewing and evaluating Colin Sexton. The rest of the segments are going to be as follows. Obviously, Colin Sexton, number one. If you have a good name for that, send that there for Mondays. Jetty Osman is going to have his own check-in segment on Tuesday. That's going to be called, informally or formally, TBD, the Jetty Order. That's a little pun there for Tuesdays. On Wednesday, it's going to be called It's Not All Bad. That's going to be 10 or so minutes of something positive going on with the Cavs. A look at some of the silver linings with this team, some things that are actually progressing in a positive way. This is going to be a rough year. They're on pace to lose a lot of games. But we're going to find some things that are positive or some multiple things that are going well for this team and with the Cleveland franchise as a whole. Could be G League, could be other stuff, but it's going to be a lot of positive on Wednesdays. Thursday is going to be Tactics Thursday. So for 10 to 15 minutes, myself and primarily Mike Tevgano from Fear the Sword and Dime Mag, but perhaps some other guests as well, depending on Mike's availability, because he's a lawyer now, we'll be going deep into something tactical, something that you want to see in the X's and O's in the playbook of what the Cavs are doing right now. It's something we'll be interested in, something that is going well, something that's going bad. It'll be all over the board. Tease for this week, we're going to be looking at how the Cavs are playing two bigs a lot right now, what that means, what it means going forward, why it's good, why it's bad, because I actually don't think it's all terrible based on their personnel. And then on Fridays, because the draft is going to matter so much to the Cavs this year, we're going to be spending every Friday on 10 or so minutes on what's going on with a draft prospect. And that's going to be with Trevor Magnotti from Fear the Sword and the Step Back. He'll also give you his game to watch for the next week. And you can read all of his draft coverage, Cavs related, at Fear the Sword right now. And I'm very happy to have Trevor back in the fold over there among our great stable of writers. This week, just as a tease, we're going to be talking about Zion Williamson, the Duke prospect who everyone is talking about right now, who is setting college basketball ablaze right now. So to recap, today will be the Colin Sexton check-in, and that'll be every Monday. Tuesday, the Jetty Order, the Jetty Osman check-in, seeing what's going on with the Cavs' young Turkish wing. Wednesday, It's Not All Bad, 10 minutes of silver linings and things that are positive with the Cavs. Thursday, Tactics Thursday, me and primarily Mike Zavgano going into something tactical that is going on with the Cavs. And then Friday, Draft Prospect Friday with Trevor Magnotti. This week, Zion Williamson. So to start today's show, we are going to go back to the Bulls game on Saturday. The Colin Sexton segment will be the last segment in today's show. The Bulls game was both a very positive thing for the Cavs and also very frustrating. They lose that game 99-98. Colin Sexton misses a shot I think he should have made at the rim. He was then blocked by Jabari Parker, who decided to play defense in that moment for some reason, I guess. And it's a game they probably should have won. The Cavs are now still only have the one win in the year. They lose Colin Sexton's first two starts, two games he primarily played pretty well. And there are reasons I think they should have probably won those games. We'll get into those in the bad, but we're going to start with Sexton in the good here. That late miss was tough. That late miss was something he should have made. Again, that's a shot. He beat his man. He got there, and he just left it short. But this was another positive performance from Sexton. Second NBA start. Went against, you know, not, I would say, the guy that started for the Bulls, whose name I can't pronounce, Ryan D'Agostino, who played at Villanova. He's a he's a fringe NBA guy. That's not a elite NBA player like some of the guys that he's going to see this week. But Colin Sexton did very well in this game. He was looking for threes. He even made two of his three. He got to the lane quite a bit. He used his speed to get downhill, and his passing was a little bit better too. This was a game where you saw him making some reads. You saw him kind of getting in the flow of things. You saw him really being one of the driving forces of why the Cavs were really turning things around. And that's a really big positive for Sexton. That's what you want from your point guard. That's what you want from a guy who has to win the respect of veterans on this team. This is not a perfect game for him. I would say he still, three assists is not quite a ton. He still has a little bit of tunnel vision where you want him to move the ball a little bit more, make some more dynamic passes. You still in defense, he's losing guys a lot. He's not rotating correctly. But this is more progress for him. Remember, Colin Sexton came into the start against the Thunder having played the fewest minutes of his rookie season. It was pretty bleak for him at that point. And he's really played really well the last two games. It's good starting minutes for him. It's more minutes for him. He's handling a lot. 40 minutes on Wednesday, 34 in this game. They're throwing a lot at him. He's doing pretty well. That's all you can ask for, I think, for him right now. So move on to another positive, and I think this one might be a bit of a hot take. I really need to sit down and dive into this take a little bit more. So this is like half of a thing, I believe, really. But Tristan Thompson is maybe playing the best basketball of his career. And I think the Bulls game was a really good example of this. This was a game where he was hounding the glass. He was finishing inside better than he has in a few recent games. And look, I think the biggest thing is this is a guy that is really stepping into a leadership role right now. Defensively, he's handling a lot. In this game, he handled Wendell Carter decently. He was rotating well. He was handing out all the instructions on as the team got going. He's the guy that right now that I think has to set the culture for this team. He's the guy that I think people are looking to. JR is doing some good locker room stuff. Korver is doing that stuff a bit more quietly, but Kevin Love is not really around right now. George Hill is injured right now, and he's going to do that too. And if you saw before the Thunder game, in the Magic game, and some other games, he's calling out all this stuff, and he's him and Tristan are the two guys leading, kind of getting guys in the right place and keeping things organized on the court for Larry Drew's squad. But Tristan right now is kind of the leader of that. He's the guy, when you hear his comments post-game, pre-game, at practices, he's setting the tone for everybody. He's letting people know like what's up. He's sending messages. He's doing, I think, what he needs to do to set the culture for this locker room. He's the guy that has to do it because he's been through this. He's been to the top of the league. He's been at the bottom of the league in terms of the quality of play. And he's also just responding with his play. Tristan looked nothing like this last year. He was not moving well. He was not switching well. He was not rebounding well. He was doing nothing well. There are limits to his game, obviously. This is a guy that does not make shots. He's been inconsistent, I think, finishing inside this year. He is someone who does a few things well and a lot of other stuff he's just kind of okay at. But when he's playing like this and he's guarding while he's switching, he's rebounding, he's finishing, he's really, really valuable. And he has not looked like this since the 2016 finals. Getting him playing this well is big for the Cavs, regardless if it's results in a couple more wins or just helps development. I think having a good Tristan's a good thing. Also in this game, credit to both Rodney Hood and Jordan Clarkson. Both made, I think, some important shots in the second half, really when the Cavs needed it, and they've slowly been making some progress, playing a bit more consistently. Hood has had a couple games where he's had a couple assists. He's taking more threes of late. He's doing some good catch-and-shoot work as well. I really like when he's playing that game and not just driving and having that one-track tunnel vision to the mid-range. To his credit, Clarkson, I think, has also done a really nice job the last couple games of not only taking mid-range shots, but he's passing more, he's getting some rebounds, he's impacting the game in other ways, not other than his scoring. Obviously, he still took 16 shots in this game. He was one of the guys that missed a lot of shots, but he's doing other stuff, so he's not just been a complete black hole in that regard. And when he's doing that, you see the ball moves better, you see the Cavs' offense looks better. And him and the little adjustments we've seen Hood and Clarkson make over the last couple games, I think, have really helped. This is a Cavs team that has been more competitive of late, and I think these little tweaks kind of have helped their offense, which is just not going to be good, be a little bit better. David Nwaba. So his shot's a real, real issue, and it's not good. That guy is not a shooter. He's Andre Roberson-type bad as a shooter. Maybe a little bit better than him, but just it's not pretty. But this guy's an incredibly smart defender. This guy, every time he's played, he makes a really smart rotation. He makes a really incredible one-on-one defensive play. And my favorite in this game was at the end of the first quarter, he's matched up against Zach LaVine, who's been outstanding this year. Gets to the line, gets off any shot he wants. It's hyper-athletic and forced a bad 19-foot shot. You got to find minutes for this guy. This is one of the guys on this roster that I think really can contribute in a meaningful way in the defensive end. This is a guy that can actually do some of the work that the other wings in this Cavs roster are not going to do. You got to figure out the shot, I guess. You got to give him a chance to make those shots, and I give him credit for just taking them and seeing if he can make them, and the Cavs giving him the green light to do so. But I'm a fan in the Waba. I think you got to find a way to play this guy, get him kind of helping with other things. He's going to make up for some of the mistakes some of these other guys are going to make. And if you want to try to build something, I think a guy like this is only going to help with that. And look, this Cavs team, to their credit, also is fighting right now. This is a Cavs team that actually is really making an impact in terms of fighting back against some adversity. They got down early in this game. They were down by 16 at one point in the Thunder game. They didn't win either game, but they made them both competitive. Just need to execute a little bit better, and maybe they've won one of those two games, and that's a real positive for a team that was looking completely out of sorts before that. So that in itself is a positive. It's not a fun one. It's not one that is particularly eye-popping in terms of stats, in terms of a highlight, but it's something that you have to do to kind of get above where you're at right now. But that's going to be it for the good of this game. You're gonna hear from what Tristan Thompson had to say about Colin Sexton's game-winning shot, or attempted game-winning shot, rather, courtesy of Cavs.com was where the audio's from, and then we'll be back to talk about some of the bat from the Bulls game. So stay tuned for more Locked On Cavaliers.
What advice would you give Colin in terms of learning from this experience? Because he got to the rim, got the chance.
Yeah, he got to the rim. He missed. It's a great experience for him. There's going to be more games where we're going to put the ball in his hands and make a play to win the game for us. So it's a good experience for him. I remember when we played Indiana, Kyrie had something like that too. We were down by one, game on the line, he missed. I think it's a good learning experience. And then after that, he made a bunch of game winners after that. So you miss one, then basketball gods give you three in a row. So you take them.
To move on to the bad, there is some stuff in this game that I think tells you sort of why the Cavs struggle. And it's the missed shots. The Cavs did not lose this game because Colin Sexton missed that shot at the rim. Well, they did, but they also missed because they had a lot of players miss a lot of other shots in the rest of the game. Larry Nance Jr. was 1 of 8 from the field in this game, including 3 misses in the paint. JR was 1 of 4. Nwaba missed 3 wide-open three-pointers. Clarkson hit a few nice shots, a few tough shots, but was only 6-16 from the field. This is a team that, because of their talent, because of Kevin Love missing, every other factor you want to throw in there, the over-reliance of mid-range shots, the margin of error for this team to be good, and not even good, to just be passable on offense is really, really small because, number one, you have no one elite in anything right now. Kevin Love would help a lot with some of their issues, I think, if he was healthy and playing well. They don't have anyone close to that level right now. They do not have someone that is really great at creating their own shot and creating easy open shots. They're not comfortable moving the ball yet. You can just see that the ball still sticks a little bit in a way that it doesn't for some of the teams like the Nuggets that move the ball really, really crisply around the perimeter. They're still figuring stuff out. There are adjustments being made. I think they've played better of late, but this is still the team that is relying on a rookie point guard to lead its offense, that is relying on, that is playing two bigs in an era of pace and space, that is getting just Jordan Clarkson as your main isolation guy. This is a team that is letting Larry Nance take threes, and we're going to talk about Nance here in a second, but it's not a great look. So far for the year, the Cavs are 27th in offense at 104.3 points per 100 possessions. The only teams worse are the Magic, the Hawks, and the Suns. And if you go to the absolute best team in the league, the Warriors are 119.2. So you see that's a 15-point, roughly, gap per 100 possessions between the Cavs and the best offense in the league. They're bad. They're really, really bad, and they're archaic, and it's going to continue to be a problem. To look at Larry Nance Jr. specifically, to me, he's the most frustrating guy that's missing shots right now. Number one, he missed 3 shots in the paint that he should be making. It's been a thing all year where he's missed some shots that he frankly just should be making and should be able to capitalize on. He should be able to dunk them, if not lay them in very easily, because that's what he's supposed to be good at. He missed two long two-pointers that were not particularly high-value shots for him. They're a shot that he believes he can take, the team believes he can take, but defenses give him. He doesn't stick them consistently. Just not what he does. And he also missed 2 threes in this game. He's now 0-8 for the year. And for the year, overall as a trend, he's shooting 46, a career worst 46.9% at two-point shots per Basketball Reference, and he's shooting a career worst 58% at the rim per Cleaning the Glass. It is unclear why this is happening. I expect it to get better. He's too good for it not to get better, but this is not great. And if you just look at what's going to make those lineups with him and Tristan successful, he's going to have to make some of these looks because that's going to keep being a thing. He's going to play with Zizic. He's going to play with Thompson. They're not going to play particularly small right now unless they go four guards. He just has to make these shots. And look, I would love to see Larry Nance be able to step out his jump shot. It would open up his game a lot. It would make his contract super valuable to the team. It would make him a really nice fit with Colin Sexton as not just a pick and roll guy, but a pick and pop guy. Very skeptical that he's ever going to develop that. It could be something like where Derek Favors took a full year to really have it click in. Maybe next season this is something that works for him, but you can only say that for so long. And the data we're seeing so far does not indicate a guy that's going to be a good shot maker. Sexton, one thing that he really struggled with in this game is just sticking with his guy off ball. He gave up a lot of kind of clean open three-pointers on catch and shoot opportunities. Has to improve that spatial awareness for him. Really needs to improve on the defensive end if he's going to kind of become better on that end. Again, he's a rookie. He's making rookie point guard mistakes, and that's just normal. But he has to track guys better because that's what he's going to be asked to do. And if that's going to be an issue, then it just becomes kind of tricky a little bit here. And Andrew Harrison, I don't want to signal him out in a bad way because he came in on short notice, played 14 minutes off the bench, was 0-4 from the field, didn't have an assist as a backup point guard, kind of a hybrid guard role. He was not good or bad necessarily. I would like to see more from him kind of going forward a little bit. I think he's going to play, especially while Hill's out. He was signed since the last time we recorded the Friday show. He is on a two-way deal, but to everything we know, this is a guy that is going to just be with the team for those full 45 days. So whether he's with the team for the rest of the year, whether he's with the team just for these 45 days, he's going to be around. I would expect him to play. And we'll see kind of where that goes, but he was fine. And I want to see if he looks better with some practice, with some time to kind of talk to Larry Drew a bit more, if he looks more comfortable than he did on Saturday. I would also say that the Cavs were much better when Sexton was off the floor defensively to kind of hit in on that for a second. And look, they don't really have a lot of choices right now, but I don't love the two big lineups. Tristan Thompson had a very interesting defense of them that I will kind of explain what he's saying here, but there's some issues with them. Number one, they are going to be a team that just can't defend very much. The Cavs are going to be in a position where they are not going to be able to switch quite as easily. It leaves your spacing very cramped. It doesn't give Sexton a lot of kind of room to kind of run there. Look, and I get the Cavs are going to be in this position where they don't have a lot of guys, but this Tristan quote, I'll just read to you real quick. So, quote, "That's stupid, just stupid basketball analytics to think if you're down by two or down by three, you can't have both bigs in the game." This is referring to late in the game. "That makes no sense. I don't understand that because if you do a good job and you sign guys on the wing that can make threes, this has nothing to do with our team, just basketball in general. When you build the team up, one of your two wing players should be able to shoot threes. Two out of three should be able to make threes. It's either a point guard or a two guard or your three and your two, whatever it is. You go two bigs, you run a pick and roll. If a four can at least shoot mid-range, then at least to keep a defense honest. The Cavs are already taking and making the fewest threes in the NBA." That's a direct quote from Joe Vardon's article. But this is tough. The offense, it gets a little bit bogged down with those two bigs in there. It's something they're going to have to deal with. I want to see what the solutions Larry Drew has for it, but I don't love it. But again, I don't know what other choices they have, especially when you don't have Kevin Love and you don't even have Sam Decker to give you at least a small look. And Ante Zizic has been okay. So we're going to take another quick break. We're going to hear from Colin Sexton on what he had to say about his last shot audio, again, courtesy of Cavs.com. And we're going to talk just about Colin Sexton to wrap up today's show. So stay tuned for more Locked On Cavaliers.
Take us through the last few seconds. The play was called for you. You're at the top. I know you'd love to have it over again, but walk us through it.
Just slip out and attack. The whole middle was wide open, so in and out dribble. I got there. Just got to finish next time.
They dropped the play for you, and you're supposed to finish, take the last shot. Yeah. Is that the actual shot that you wanted or at the start of the play, what were you hoping to get?
No, absolutely. I felt like I got to my spot. That was the right spot. They told me to take that 100 at a time, so I'm going to make it next time for sure.
When you got the ball back, did you see Parker coming?
Oh, when I got it back, I didn't see him come. I tried to get it up. If I see him, I would probably pump fake, jumped into him or something. But
how did it make you feel, though, to have your number called with a game on the line in such an early part of your career?
It was cool. I just had to be ready. I feel like I was ready. I just got to make it next time.
What were you learning from the situation?
I felt like we was fighting. As a team, we fought back, and we didn't get discouraged or get down. So I feel like we're going to take back a lot. We're going to watch film tomorrow and try to learn from it.
To give you an idea of where Colin Sexton is statistically right now, he has played 12 games. He started the last two. He is averaging 25.5 minutes per game. He is shooting 43.1% from the field on 9.7 attempts per game. He is shooting 40% from three, actually, on 0.5 makes per game on 1.3 attempts overall per game. He's shooting 91.9% from the line, which is a very good indicator of potential three-point shooting, actually. He's shooting 3.1 free throws per game. He's averaging 11.7 points per game, 2.2 assists, 2.1 turnovers, taking most of his shots in the mid-range, getting to the rim a little bit more. But Colin Sexton is in an interesting spot right now, and I've really, really liked what he's done of late. I would say so far overall that his rookie year has been a mixed bag. He's had, again, those two really good games. But again, he entered the Thunder game on Wednesday, last Wednesday, having played the fewest minutes of the season against Orlando. He certainly hasn't been helped by all the nuttiness around the Cavs, all the change and the chaos. And defensively, he's a rookie point guard. Him struggling, missing rotations, not knowing where guys are, the instances where he's kind of not done what the scheme is really asking him to do when he's supposed to be switching, or he's just not reading picks correctly, that's just going to come with time. He's going to make these mistakes, so it should be expected. But I think last two games have been the best two games of his career, and it makes you feel more optimistic just about what he might be as opposed to just how bad he looked to start. As far as starting goes, I do think it's fair to wonder if there's no coming back from this. George Hill is only expected to be out 1 to 2 weeks with the shoulder sprain, per the Cavs and per the reporting that's out there. But let's say Colin Sexton keeps playing well. Let's say this week he hangs against Kemba Walker, hangs against Tony Parker, hangs against John Wall. Let's say George Hill isn't back till after Thanksgiving, and then Colin Sexton starts through what will be a very long week where they play the Pistons, the Lakers, the Sixers, and the Rockets. So let's say this is a tough stretch for him too. It's worth noting. This next six games for him is going to be a brutal stretch. But let's say he does well. Let's say he has some bad games, obviously, because he's a rookie, but let's say he does some really positive things too. Can the Cavs really give George Hill just back the starting job? No questions asked. Is it in the best interest of the franchise to give George Hill the starting job back? Is this their version of Tyrod Taylor getting hurt against the Jets and Baker coming in and just seizing that job? Different scenarios. I think Baker's ceiling as a individual prospect in the sport seemed to be much higher than Sexton's, but I don't know if you can go back from Sexton not starting at this point. I think if he plays really well the next 2 weeks, maybe you start Hill as the two guard, you bump Rodney to the bench, but I think this could be Sexton starting for the rest of the year. At least it should be a conversation that is had, I think, in that organization. The Cavs also could be doing, I think, more to really support Sexton in terms of structure. No Kevin Love certainly hurts this a lot, but on aggregate, the guy he's playing with the most is Jordan Clarkson. Per Basketball Reference, the player he spent the most with in Parr's two-man groupings this year is Clarkson at 210 total minutes. The second most is Larry Nance at 179 minutes. And according to Cleaning the Glass, on aggregate, the lineups with him and Clarkson are minus 22.5 points per 100 possessions. The most common one actually isn't too bad. That is Sexton, Clarkson, J.R. Smith, Larry Nance, and Kyle Korver. It's actually only minus 1.3 per 100 possessions, but aside from one other one that is not used very much, they're all a dumpster fire. So getting him away from Jordan Clarkson, I think, would be really good for both of them. It allows them both to play with the ball in their hands more, allows them to create a little bit more, allows them to do what makes them useful in a basketball context more. So getting them apart, I think, would be really good for not just Colin Sexton, who's more important, but also Jordan Clarkson. And look, this week is going to be an interesting week for Colin Sexton. They play just twice, but he's getting two tough opponents. Number one, he's getting the Hornets, and that they have both Kemba Walker and Tony Parker. When the Cavs played them last time, he struggled. Parker shook him a number of times. He didn't know how to track Kemba, who does a really good job of blending an ability to attack on ball and attack off ball. It's a big challenge for Colin Sexton to really handle that defensive assignment and handle the type of offense that the Hornets are going to run and the type of movement their guys make. If he could have a bounce-back game there based on what he played against them the first time, it would be good. And then he gets John Wall. For all of the Wizards' nonsense, for all of the wackiness with that team and how and just ready they seem to be to implode and Bradley Beal gets shipped off somewhere, John Wall's one of the most athletic guards in the league. He's gonna push on Sexton. He's gonna make him work defensively. He's gonna make him defend, kind of going backwards and having to make smart plays. So to me, this is gonna be a week where Colin Sexton is gonna take some lumps. He's going to struggle, and ideally, he's gonna grow from these lumps. And again, this leads into another really tough week for him. Let's say George Hill isn't back until the Lakers game or after that week or whatever. Regardless of when Hill's back, the next six opponents for him, again, the Hornets with Kemba and Tony Parker. Then he gets the Wizards with John Wall. Then you get the Pistons, who it's Reggie Jackson and Ish Smith, so that's a bit of a step down, but Reggie Jackson's still solid, does a really nice job on that team. Then you get the Lakers, so you have Rondo, you have Lonzo, you'll maybe guard Josh Hart as well. Lance Stevenson will handle the ball a little bit. He could get thrown on a number of different guys, but even just Rondo and Lonzo, those are good tests. Then on that Friday, you get the Sixers. Fultz is obviously there. They play different guys at point guard, but that's a team that is challenging. And what if he has to guard Ben Simmons for some stretch or something? Like, what goes on there for Sexton will be an interesting test. Then you get the Rockets. He's going to get the point god himself, Chris Paul, maybe sometimes on James Harden as well for Sexton in that game. Those are really big, tough games for him. These are going to be some lumps. He's going to struggle. He's going to make a lot of mistakes in these next 2 weeks. But how he handles it, if he can build on these really two positive games for him, that's going to be a really, really big thing for him. I really like what these two games say about what Sexton could be. Again, his rookie year so far has been up and down. It's been a mixed bag. But he's making progress. He's learning. He's adapting. And he's doing things better than he was before. He's not just making the same mistakes over again. And he's kind of an easy guy to root for because of his personality, the vibe he gives off. He's kind of ultra-competitive. He's got just something about him that I think makes him easy to root for, and you want to see him do well. So let's see what he does these next 2 weeks, but I like where he's going into it based on these last two games. So that's going to be it for today's show. We're going to be back tomorrow with a preview of the Hornets game, and then we're going to take a look at Jedi Osmond in the Jedi Order. If you have questions you want answered in our next mailbag, submit them to @LockedOnCavs on Twitter or to LockedOnCavs@gmail.com. And a 5-star review on iTunes will guarantee that your question gets answered. So if you leave the question either in that review or if you take a picture of your review and then send that via email or on Twitter, I guess, we'll make sure that question gets answered, or I will at least. And add for the sword, I'll be sure to check out all the latest news and notes from the Cavs. We'll have media, they have media availability on Monday. We'll have some coverage from that and a whole bunch more this week as the games get going again. So thanks for listening. This has been Locked On Cavaliers for Monday, November 12th. I'm Chris Manning. Find me on Twitter and Facebook @CWMWrites. Back tomorrow with another episode. Thanks for listening.